beautiful friends. Welcome to the Arise to Life podcast, where we share real and raw conversations about our sometimes crazy, but always beautiful kind of lives. I'm Madison.
Hey, it's Jill.
It's me, Sarah.
And hey, it's Ashlyn, and we are so excited that you're joining us today. Our desire is to encourage every girl in every season to arise to the abundant life that is waiting for her. Whether you're wrestling your toddlers or having a cup of coffee, we're here to come alongside of you and share the ups and downs of our faith, friendship, and everything in between. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 12. So today's episode is our second part in our True Worth series. So if you have not listened to the first part of our True Worth series yet, then I highly suggest pausing this one, heading over, listening to that one before you come back and dive into this one. So before we get started, Sarah, do you have an icebreaker for us?
I do. You ready?
We're ready.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
Drum roll.
What is the funniest thing one of your kids has ever said to you?
Oh, great.
I got one.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there. Jax was, maybe like 4 or so at the time. And I was sitting on the couch and he looks up at me and he says, "Mama, no offense, but you have a double chin." And I was like, "Jax!" And he's like, "What? I said no offense." Like, if he says no offense.
I mean, that's true. No offense, but.
If I have a double chin.
You can just use that. No offense, but.
No offense, but.
I feel like that's just like opening the door for offense every time. Yeah.
Anyway, it was good.
That's funny.
With Isla, it's an adventure every time. So Sarah likes to say that Michael is a big, strong man. So one day, we're not talking about that though. But one day, Isla picks up like a big pillow, and she's a tiny little 2-year-old. She picks up this huge pillow, goes, "Mommy, look, I'm big, strong man." It was so funny.
I love that. Hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, one time I had to take my boys into, when you're shopping by yourself, you have to bring the boys into the bathroom with you, like when you're in Target or whatever, going to the bathroom. And so I'm like, they go to the bathroom. I'm like, "Boys, I'm staying here. I'm going to go to the bathroom." And they say, I'm always so terrified that they're either going to open the door on me or they're going to say something with all these other people that are like in the stalls next to me. Well, of course, I don't even remember which one of them it was, but that one of them was like, "Mommy, where your wiener at?" And I'm like, "Shh, there's people in the stalls next to us." I'm like, "Mommies don't have wieners. Just stop. We'll talk about it at home, okay?"
That was a good answer.
Yeah.
That was good.
I didn't think it was very good at the moment. I was so embarrassed.
Kids.
I went and got my hair done one time, and I came home, and I think it was Tay. He said, "Oh, you look like a girl today, Mom."
Like a girl.
I was like, "Wow, that's sad."
Yeah.
It's a sad life.
We have such kind kids.
Oh, man.
That's terrible. Maybe we should say something nice about them now.
Moral of the story, if you're trying to up your true worth, your body image,
don't ask your kids.
Opinion,
yeah.
Good.
So last week we talked, about, we had two questions that we answered, and it was, where is my worth and what is my worth? And we talked a lot about how destructive it can be to put our worth in anything other than Jesus. And today I just want to talk about one area that I think so many of us struggle in, where we try to find our worth in that when it just can't be put in that. And that's in our bodies. So many of us, that society has just placed this unachievable expectation on women specifically. And it doesn't matter how hard we try, we never measure up. Mostly because people are photoshopped and, have surgeries and whatever. And it's just so hard to know what's real and what's fake. And it's just, it's exhausting to try to keep up. And so today we want to talk about how, our worth is not in our body, but at the same time, our body does have worth.
Right.
It's here, we have it, and we have it for a reason, and it is of value to us. Mm-hmm. So first, we want to just kind of touch on our body isn't our worth. And today, we just want to share with you that if you're struggling with putting your worth in your body, like, we all have that struggle. Mm-hmm. And so the first question that we have, we want to talk about, is just to show you guys that we can relate with a struggle. Mm-hmm. And we've been there too. And we have that struggle. So what aspect of your body do you, or have you, put your worth in? And how did it affect you?
So when I was pregnant with both my girls, I I mean, it's a long story, but I found out that by the time Isla came around that I just couldn't have kids. My doctor said my body wouldn't go into labor. And so I remember sitting there and with Eden, my first one, I dilated to a 2. Even while they were inducing me, I only got to a 2. So I ended up having a C-section with her. That's a long story. But then we go to Isla, and I even dilated with her. And I ended up having another C-section. But I remember sitting there, and I'm talking to my doctor, and she's telling me what I'm dilated at. And I'm like, why? Like, why can't I dilate? And she's like, some women just can't go into labor. And it was rough for a while because I'm like, at the time, I had put my worth into motherhood a little bit. So I remember thinking, well, this is my one job as a woman, the world says. Like, I can carry them, but I can't have them. So that really affected me for a while. And then another thing that's more recent is my weight. And I wouldn't say that my identity is in it, but it is something that the enemy keeps trying to bring up as a struggle. So with that, I have to constantly, especially with this season coming up, I have to constantly be like, you know, just speaking words of life into myself. Because used to, if I wouldn't have spoken words of life into myself, it would have been a slippery slope. And now I've learned from my past that if I don't, like, defeat him quick, then he'll just take it further mm-hmm. than it should.
I can relate to both of those. I would say, like, I tore my body apart when I couldn't get pregnant, when we were struggling to get pregnant with Nugget. I tore my body apart because I thought I wasn't, like, that's what I was created to do, and I couldn't do it. And then, the flip side, I tore my body apart because after I was pregnant, my body was never the same. You know, so mm-hmm. after I had a baby, like, my stomach was never the same. And so I can say I can relate to both of those. And also just being, like, I've struggled with weight ever since coming off of addiction. And I can tell that my identity has changed today because while I'm still, like, I still have overweight, I'll put the shorts on. When used to, I would have wore jeans in the mm-hmm. summer because I was so self-conscious about mm-hmm. it. But now I can tell, like, I'm just going to wear the shorts because that's not what my identity is. And the Lord, like, I'm here for a reason and I have a purpose regardless of what I weigh, yeah. you know? But back in the day, like I said, I would have wore even jeans and long sleeve mm-hmm. shirt because I would have been that uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think for me, I put my worth in a lot what my body got me. Like, I was in a season, you know, prior to marriage that I got the attention and things that I needed because of, like, long legs, like, you know, just different things mm-hmm. that my body, the looks, the appearance of my body, you know. And there's things about my body that the enemy attacks me and that I don't like still to this day. But I think there was a time that, actually, I know there was a time that I put my worth in just the attention that I got from boys and basically that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, my struggle with my body has been one that I've, like, it's been a struggle for most of my life. And all of those things, I put my worth in my weight, I put my worth in the shape of my body, I put my worth in the attention I was mm-hmm. getting with my body. All of those things have been a struggle for me. But one I want to talk about in addition to that is just the things that I can accomplish or the things that my body can accomplish. And so I would feel like if I couldn't get all the things done in a day, or if I wasn't constantly doing something or accomplishing something, then, you know, I wasn't measuring up. Another one would be like getting PRs. Like, I got really into weightlifting and getting PRs with how fast I could run a mile or how much I could deadlift or squat or whatever. And I would just put my worth in those things and try to get attention and, you know, like, post about them on, like, Facebook or Instagram and just really try to draw attention to them because I felt like that's what made me have value is, you know, what I could do, what my body could do. So I just want to, like, read this verse to you. This is Samuel, and Samuel is going to anoint the new king, and he's going to anoint David. The Lord tells him exactly where to go, and he goes to Jesse's household, and Jesse brings out his sons, and he brings out his oldest son, and his oldest son is really handsome and looks very kingly, and Samuel immediately thinks, well, that's got to be the guy, because that's what Saul looked like. Saul was, you know, kind of head and shoulders above everybody else, and so Samuel thought for sure that this one was the one that was going to be picked because he just looked like a king. And God said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's so important to remember that the world wants you to think if you have this or you have that, or your clothes fit you this way, or you're this size jeans, or you weigh this much, then people will pick you or choose you. And that's not the way that the Lord sees you. Mm-hmm. He looks at your heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we go into this next portion about our body having value and having worth, like, we just wanted to share all of that to say, like, we're in it with you. Like, we're struggling too. You're not mm-hmm. alone. Yeah. We all have areas that we look at and we're like, man, you know, like, we have struggled or we are struggling, and you're not alone. You're not alone. If you're having struggles with your body image, you're not alone. And so now we want to just kind of move into the fact that your body does have value. It was a gift that was given to you, and it has value. And I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:19-20. And it says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And I love how in that verse he says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you go back and look in the Old Testament when they were building the temple, I don't know about you, but I get a little bit bored reading that portion of scripture because it's so long mm-hmm. and they go on and on, and they had very specific measurements and everything had to be like made according to God's desire. And it was very specific about how it was meant to be built and the colors and all of the things. And so you can see in those scriptures that it's important to him. That it's something that he holds as valuable. They put gold and they melted down the finest materials to put into that temple. And so the place where he was supposed to dwell was sacred, and it was set apart, and it was important. And now it's us. Mm-hmm. Now it's our body. And so we have to treat it like it's a temple, like it's important, like it matters, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't it sad, like, how we can think of our body and view it? Because, like, I can listen to this scripture and even be like, I wouldn't pay that high of a price for this body, mm-hmm. you know? And so that just hit me thinking about that. Like, he did, though, yeah. or he yeah. will, and he yeah. will always
and
do that.
And continues to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So what's a way that you feel like your body has value? Because I think society really wants us to think it only has value if it looks like this. And that's what the value is in as far as your body goes. But let's talk about something that, like, a way that you see your body has value that maybe doesn't have anything to do with the way it looks.
I know Sarah says I'm not, but I'm pretty strong. No, but I've always liked to lift weights, especially whenever I was like playing college sports and stuff like that. But I've always been strong, and I like that. I like even the thunder thighs. I like that they show that I am strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I think for me, I like that it carries children and births my children, like that we get to have that ability. Like, we could have our children so many different ways, but the Lord chose to allow women to be able to, you know, carry their children and birth their children. And I think that's a really special, special thing that my body does for me.
Yeah.
I would say, like, caring for your family, and, like, you take on a lot. So it's like a physical, think of our day. If you go to work and then you work all day and then you come home, cook dinner and do all the things, like, you don't go to bed till your babies go to bed. Mm-hmm. And so it just cares for my family, you know? Yeah. And it also just carries me along, which is a lot. That attitude and everything.
Oh, Sarah. Mine would be that, like, our body, honestly, is our greatest tool that we've been given to serve God. Oh. You know, everything that we do, he tells us to be fishers of men, and he gave us the commission to go out and tell the world about Jesus. And we can't do that if we can't go, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We have to be able to step where he tells us to step, you know?
And I think about, like, as we're talking about speaking over, Madison mentioned, like, speaking life to your body or over your body, and what kind of tool, you're talking about our body being a tool, what kind of tool are we taking if we've spoken death over it? Like, that's a rusty old tool if mm-hmm. that's what we're taking, you know what I mean? And so we have to speak life over it so that it can be the tool that God intended for it to be, to take us to do the things, to care for our family, to go where the Lord's called us to do all the things.
And there has to come a point when you have to care for your body, because the enemy will tell you, like, you, speaking of doing ministry with it or doing God's work, like, if I physically can't go, the Lord's used that against, or I mean, the enemy has used that against me. Like, you're not going to be able to do this in 5 years because look at the way you're going, you know? And so I think that's important too.
Yeah. I was talking to my uncle this morning, and we were just talking about this area of health and stuff, and he's just older, and he's actually had this miraculous story of a heart transplant, and, you know, he's been through a lot in his body, but he said more people quit ministry because they're too tired to do it or they're too unhealthy to do it than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's sad. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we don't want to, you know, devalue what God has given us to a point where we can't even do what he's called us to do.
Yeah. We put a high amount of value on taking care of our spiritual self when mm-hmm. we're in ministry, especially, but that points out such an amazing point that you could be as spiritually sound as you want to be, but if you're not physically able to do what God's called you to do, you know, it keeps you from reaching the places that mm-hmm. he wants to take you.
Yeah. One time I was just thinking about taking care of our bodies, and I was just like, I was pouring my kids. I had like a piece of pizza. They were having pizza and eating dinner, you know, and I was pouring me. I think she was kind of young at the time. I was pouring her a soda, and I was thinking about, like, if I had a pet, would I go and pour soda into their bowl instead of water? Mm. You know, would you? Mm. Because it's not good for them. Mm. But I'm feeding it to my kids, you know, and that was like, dang. Yeah. You know?
Hmm. I think Nugget had a Dr. Pepper today.
I know. I'm not saying that my kids don't drink soda. I'm just saying sometimes we put, you know.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's really true.
So what is, you know, just kind of on that line, you know, are there ways that you've devalued your body? Like, God gave you this gift and it's your, you know, where you are meant to abide on this earth. Is there a way that you've devalued it in the past?
Mm. There's a lot of ways. I use drugs, and I know that the Lord, like, I can, looking back now, I can just imagine that, like, he was just sad when mm-hmm. I was doing it, you know, just for more than just my body, but, like, I injected it into my body.
Yeah. I think the most consistent thing with me has been overeating. Yeah. And like I said, I used to exercise really consistently and not as much now, but what's been consistent has probably been the overeating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, the consistent thing is tearing it apart with my words. Like, it's often that in the mornings when you're getting ready, like, something stands out to you that you wish was different. And I can either take that thought captive and speak life over it, or I can just let the enemy just run with that thought and completely let it consume my mind, or let it roll off to another thing that I don't like about my body, you know, and it just keeps going and keeps going. And I would say that is probably the most consistent thing, that the way that I've devalued my body over the years.
Yeah, I can resonate with that. And I can think of a specific time where I was probably like really fit at the time. And I was in a group of people and I was talking about, gosh, I feel so fat today. And every single person in that room was at least 40 pounds heavier than I was. And I left and I was like, that was horrible. You know, so if I'm speaking death over my body and someone is there who is either the same size as me or bigger or whatever, has that same flaw that I have, like, I just tore them down in effect, you know?
Yeah. I've heard that said too about, I don't have daughters, but I've heard that said about mothers with daughters, that every time you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I don't like this about myself, mm-hmm. and your daughter looks like you, or she hears you say that about yourself, mm-hmm. she starts thinking that about you, or maybe even looking at that for herself, you know, at whatever age, she may be 5 or she may be 25, and, you know, still have, then you've caused them to now have those thoughts too. Yeah.
And I think cellulite's a big one with that. Like, right now I could look at cellulite and be like, ugh, and Mia doesn't have any because she's 8 or 9 or whatever. But when she gets older, she probably will. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm tearing it down now, then when she mm-hmm. gets older and she does have it, she remembers.
It's immediately negative.
That's a negative thing and I should hate it. And if we would just flip the script, and if we wouldn't start looking at those things negatively, then maybe the next generation won't struggle the same ways that we do.
Yeah, that's good. So another example of that for my oldest, Eden, she's catching on really quickly. And so I remember a few months ago, I was getting ready and she came in and she's like, Mom, I want to put makeup on so I can be pretty like you. I'm not pretty if I don't have makeup on. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of when I started wearing makeup less, and I started being more intentional about that. Even if I wanted to wear makeup places, sometimes I wouldn't because I knew she was watching. And not too long ago, she came up to me and I wasn't putting makeup on for work. And she said, why aren't you putting makeup on? And I said, I don't need it. I don't want to. She said, yeah, you're pretty without makeup, and I am too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, you are.
That was so sweet for the Lord to give you that.
Yeah. It's been really, she's only four, but the things that she knows and realizes, it's crazy.
Yeah, they catch
But on. They're watching. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important how you steward that relationship with them.
Yeah.
The way that I've devalued my body is I struggled with binge disorder. And it started because I had always been overweight, and then I went on the weight loss journey. I've talked about it on like my testimony takeover and different platforms and stuff, but I lost 85 pounds and I had really, really good progress. But in that, I did it. It was a pretty fast weight loss, and I used restrictive measures in order to do it. And so I was eating like 1,200 or less calories a day and exercising for hours at a time, and so just kind of like starving my body. And that style of losing weight will never work in the way that you want it to. It's just not healthy. And so it led to this place where once I got to my goal weight, well, now I'm at my goal weight, so I'm not on a diet anymore, and so I want to eat all the foods that I wasn't allowed to eat when I was on my diet. And so then after that, I started going into, it wasn't just about weight loss. Now I wanted to change the shape of my body. And so now I'm working on like resistance training and doing these challenges where I'm trying to grow my glutes or different things like that. And so when I was on the challenge, I would be really restrictive and eat, you know, cut out all these certain foods. And then when I was off the challenge, I would binge on all the foods that I couldn't. And so it created this lifestyle where I would do really good throughout the week and then binge on the weekends. And it was just really destructive. I even had points in time where I would eat so much that I tried to throw up. And that didn't happen a lot, but I can remember two or three different times where I was so ashamed of how much I had just eaten that I went to the bathroom and tried to throw up. And so it was just like really destructive to my hormones and to my mental health, my spiritual health, everything. Like every part of my health struggled because of that binge disorder. And it led me to this place where I had to completely revamp everything. And I had to change it to where it wasn't just, I wasn't trying to eat healthy to be skinny, but I'm trying to eat healthy so that I can be healthy. And there's a really big difference in those two things, eating to be skinny and eating to be healthy, because being healthy encompasses not just your physical health, but your mental, spiritual, emotional health, all of those things. And so I had to kind of take this freedom journey where I stopped abusing my body and devaluing my body, and now I'm investing in my body, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in that, what do you do now? Like, we've talked a lot about like kind of the things that we've done that harmed our body. What do we do now that invests in our body and stewards it well?
I think for me, I'm in a season where, so I love to go to the gym and work out. Like, I've done that my whole life. I'm just in a season right now where it's not feasible for me to go to the gym. Dylan goes early in the morning before school, and then I gotta work. I work during the day, and then we have sports, and I'm in that sports season now. And so I'm not able to get to the gym, but I've learned that I have to figure out how to incorporate some kind of physical activity in my day at home, because it makes my body feel good whenever I'm incorporating that in the day. And so I think that helps me to then speak life over my body and see it as I feel good. It's easier for me to speak those things into my body. Whereas if I'm not being intentional about just getting some kind of moving in throughout the day and not allowing, just because I can't get to the gym, just kind of rolling over and being defeated, but instead trying to make the mends to change and work it into whatever season I'm in currently. And it just helps speak life into my body. As I feel good, I can speak good things.
I love that strategy, because like our bodies weren't created to sit
right
all day long, mm-hmm. You know? And I think a lot of like the way our society is set up now, a lot of us have office jobs, and so we do have to sit a lot of the day. And so just finding that, like, it doesn't have to be a workout. You don't have to go to the gym for 2 hours. You can just move more and be intentional about moving more. Like, maybe it means you get up and take a walk around the office every hour or something like that. But I love that idea, you know?
I think my body was made to sit all day.
No.
Okay. Jill says no.
No. I mean, that's why we feel bad.
Sluggish.
Yeah, that's why we don't feel good a lot of the time, is because our bodies weren't created to sit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sit. What are you talking about?
You clean. Don't sit all day.
You work all day.
I could. Okay. I think I would. I think now I guess knowing my identity in Christ has allowed me to know that my body is important. Regardless of the shape or what it looks like, it is important. So holding thoughts captive, even calling, like you guys, if I'm having a bad day and just being like, I don't feel myself or my body is this or this, because Jill will catch you real fast if you do that. But I think just knowing, like, my identity in Christ and knowing that He values me at whatever shape or size I am. But also, there's a responsibility that comes with it, you know? And I'm still figuring out the responsibility, if you want me to be honest. But I think it starts with changing your perspective on it and changing the identity in Christ. I think that's where I'm, like, you start.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm pretty much in that same boat. Like I said earlier, I worked out my whole life, and then it's like I got married, and phew, that went out the window.
Yeah, that'll preach right there. That happens a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But so, I mean, it's the same thing now. Like, I'll work out every once in a while. I'll eat good a little bit, but really, like, it's, I'm...
But now the restaurant's open.
But then the restaurant is open, and I've eaten there at least 12 times in the past week. Is that even possible?
It's only been open a week, so.
But seriously, like, right now I'm in a season of where self-discipline is hard for me. It really is. And I'm, like, I'm working on that, and it's going okay. But honestly, the speaking life thing is... I'll get in the shower, and if I get a glance in the mirror that I may not like that angle, like used to, I would be like, just sit there and be like, oh my goodness, like what happened? And now it's like, nope, not thinking that. That thought's gone, and I am this, this, and this. And then so I don't want to say trained myself, but I have trained myself really to speak life over my body, and I believe it. It's not just me saying these things anymore. It turned into me believing them now.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And I have gone through the speaking life for a long time, and I talk about it a lot. Like, I love speaking life over your body is so important. And I just started a new aspect of it recently. I feel like we talk about Melanie Long on every single episode, but I'm going to talk about her again, because one day I reached out to her and she asked how I was. And I was like, I feel like, you know, not very good today. I don't have any energy. And she's like, speak life over that. Tell yourself that you do. You know, and she told me that I needed to tell myself that I have energy and you know, get rid of all the, what did she say, lethargy and laziness and anything, like just rebuke and stuff.
We were a degree in it.
Yeah. And so I've started every morning, I'll get up and I'll be like, I slept really good last night. I have so much energy today. It's going to be such a good day. And it makes a difference. Yeah. It's crazy. It makes a difference. But that's not my thing. That's not the one I want to talk about. But the thing that I do that invests in my body is just eating in moderation. And, you know, knowing that, like, I try to eat healthy as much as I can. And then there are times whenever I eat because something tastes good. And I'm not going to restrict and binge and, you know, go down that path again. Because if I want something that's not the healthiest, I'm just going to have it because, you know, food tastes good for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, the fuel that God gave us, if he didn't want it to taste good, if he didn't want us to enjoy it, he would have made it mush, you know? And so I try to enjoy what I'm having, and I just eat in moderation. I don't restrict or anything like that.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say we can get to a point where we have self-control, because that's part of our fruit that lives inside of us. Right. So we can get to a point where I can wake up and be like, I do have self-control.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, if you start eating healthier food and you stop eating junk food, then healthier food will taste better than junk food.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. Like, right now, maybe if you've been eating junk food for a long time and that's what you're used to, that's what you crave because that's what your body expects. But if you start eating healthy and you make yourself for a while, then that's what you're going to start craving. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it'll work.
Are Doritos junk food?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Doritos are junk food.
It tastes really good.
I love what Madison said about how she started believing it, because we can say we're beautiful or we're chosen or say all the things we want to in the mirror, but until we truly believe them and let them soak in, it's not going to change our day. It's just going to be a repetition that we do because we're kind of supposed to do it. We truly have to believe it about ourselves to be true, or it's not going to have the effect that, yeah. you know, and so words are just words unless there's meaning behind it. And so I love that she said that because I've been there where it was just words before. And then I was like, this isn't making me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, and so I've just have, I had to get to a place where I do believe, like I, you know, and so that, I think that's a really big deal because there might be a lot of people out there that they're like, I'm saying the things I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm chosen. I know the mm-hmm. Bible says that I'm loved. I'm beautiful. My body's a temple, but I don't feel it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where, you have to get to a place to where do you really believe it? Like, yeah. you know, and what does that look like? Well, I think it's just truly coming to a place with the Lord where you surrender those feelings of inadequacy.
I think it's over and over repetition mm-hmm. of that. Like, yeah. it's not going to happen by one time.
Yeah.
You know, you spent, however old you are, you spent that many years
saying one thing
and yeah. now you yeah. have a whole different, you know, different mm-hmm. thing that you need to believe. And so it's not going to happen yeah. instantly. I think it's a process. And so, you know, as we wrap up today, I want to kind of issue a two-part challenge to you guys. The first part is, whenever we were talking, all of us talked about the importance of speaking life over our bodies. And so the first part of the challenge is that I want you guys to get some declarations that you can speak over your bodies, especially as we go into where you're trying on swimsuits and you're trying on shorts before you start, before you get in that place and you have to get out your summer tote or whatever it is, like you're going to the first pool party of the season and you're about to pick out your swimsuit. Before you do that, declare some things over your body. Start talking about that as beautiful, that, you know, just the things that you need to speak over your body. Start speaking those over your body. And then the second part of the challenge is to find a practical thing that you can do right now to invest in your body and to remind yourself that it has value. Maybe it's eating, maybe it's moving more, just whatever it is, like find something that you can do and then tag us, like take a picture. Maybe it's drinking more water. Maybe you need to drink more water or eat your vegetables or whatever that is. Like, make the goal, share it with someone, post it on social media, and then tag us. We want to hear from you. We want to see what you're doing and the way that this is making a difference in your life. So we love you all. We're so grateful for you. We would so appreciate it if you would subscribe to our channel and that you just follow us along the journey. It means so much to us. We love you.
Bye. Bye.